Welcome to the Farm Bits podcast.
Farm Bits is productively produced by Nebraska Digital Agriculture Team and hosted by students at the University of Nebraska.
The Farm Bits podcast comes to you each week to discuss the trends, the realities, and the value of digital agriculture.
Through interviews with experts, producers, and innovators from across the agriculture industry, we hope that you step away from each episode with new practical knowledge of digital agriculture technology. Hello, Farm Bits followers, and welcome to another episode of Farm Bit Podcast. I am Anna.
And I'm Katie Bathke, and we are glad to have you with us as we begin our discussion on soil health using cover crops with Extension educator Dr. Katya Kohler-Cole. Could you please introduce yourself and provide an overview of your career journey this far?
Sure. So my name is Katya Kohler-Cole. I'm the statewide soil health management Extension educator. Before I started this position, I was a research assistant professor in the agronomy department at UNL. And before that, I did my postdoc working mostly with cover crops, and my graduate studies were working mostly with green manure, so things like clovers in organic systems. So most of my graduate degrees I got from UNL with an undergraduate degree from Germany, Hohenheim University in Germany. So,
nice, really interesting. Can you introduce the relationship between soil health and the cover crop for us?
Sure. And actually, I'm probably just going to start out talking a little bit about soil health and plants in general, because I don't necessarily differentiate so much between cash crop, cover crops, whatever it is, you know, whatever's their perennial vegetation. So I think, you know, so a healthy soil is formed by the interaction of plants and microorganisms, whether those are animals or fungi or others, bacteria, whatever. A healthy soil is a soil that has the capacity to function as a living ecosystem. So basically, this is where soil health is, you know, where soil health has really taken a step forward in that it defines the soil as an ecosystem. Basically, there's a food web in the soil, and everything that we do in soil health is concerned with that food web. And so plants are the base for that food web in soil health. Well, they're the base for really any sort of ecosystem, almost most of them, I should say, on this planet. There are a few exceptions. So plants, through photosynthesis, provide the carbohydrates that everything else, every other organism needs to function. So in the soil, plants provide food to those other animals, to fungi, to bacteria, either by, you know, either those organisms feed directly on plants, or they feed on the plant litter, the dead residue, which could be above ground residue or below ground residue, the roots. And then a very important part of food in the soil ecosystem is those root exudates. So root exudates are carbohydrates and amino acids in liquid form or in water, dissolved in water, that constantly reach out of the roots. And that's really a preferred food source for a lot of microorganisms. That's why microorganisms tend to hang out closely to plant roots. And why is that all important, and how does it connect to soil health? Well, if we have a constant living root in the ground, a living root year round, we're always feeding those microorganisms. The other thing how plants support microorganisms is that many plants have beneficial relationships with microorganisms. So one example would be mycorrhizal fungi that really need to have a plant as a host. They don't live without plants. So by having a cover crop in the ground, for example, we provide that living plant in the ground year round. So, you know, we're supporting and augmenting many times those mycorrhizal populations. And then, you know, the fungi especially and the plant roots together with some bacteria also really improve the structure of the soil. So they are really the ones who are binding all these soil particles together, forming aggregate, which is, you know, improves the structure of the soil, also provide habitat again, but does all these other things that a healthy soil does. For example, if you have nice aggregates, your soil is less vulnerable to erosion. If you have more aggregates, you have more pore space, you have, you know, more place for water and air to come in or also leave the soil. So there's more of an exchange of all of these things. But most importantly, plants and microorganisms together form the soil and really make the soil into the habitat that it is.
I love your perspective on how you take such like, you kind of backtrack us a little bit with an ecosystem approach. And I think that's a great way to set off this conversation about soil health and how plants fit into that. And I really like how you just think of cover crops and cash crops and like all of the different names we seem to put for plants within agriculture as kind of looping them in as plants and how we think about those interactions. So thank you for sharing that with us. How can cover crops be effectively utilized to enhance soil health? So since you have such an extensive background in cover crops, if you could just talk to us a little bit about how we can go about using them to better our soil health.
Yeah, so again, you know, keeping that ecosystem approach in mind. So when we have a cover crop, you know, we do provide a host for many of those mycorrhizal fungi, which we want in our soils, which are agricultural soils. They always have some fungi, but we really want to increase the fungi population. So having a cover crop in the ground during periods that would otherwise be fallow really can help us that. And that's where we also see the improvements is, you know, you have the cover crop, you over time, it doesn't happen, you know, within just a year, but over time, you typically increase fungi populations in the soil. And so you get better aggregation. Some of the things you can see more quickly would be things like improved water infiltration because you have roots there now, and other, you know, microorganisms that form tunnels and things like that in the soil. So that oftentimes the improved water infiltration and of course the crown cover that prevents or at least reduces soil erosion. Those are things that you can often see within just a one year season of growing cover crops. Yeah, so I think this is probably the easiest way to see an improvement in soil health by utilizing a cover crop is, you know, thinking about that food web, feeding your microorganisms, especially your fungi and bacteria, and improving water infiltration. So for a lot of the other things, you know, if you're thinking more about increasing organic matter, increasing, you know, some of the nutrient cycling, you cover crops are great for that as well, but it ideally you want to incorporate some other soil health practices into that as well.
Considering the vast expanses across Nebraska, how can we facilitate the weed spread adoption of the management practice for both the soil health?
Yeah, so, and that's a great question. And it's something that we all think about, of course, especially being in extension or in research, you know, eventually we want people to adopt those practices. So the thing is that's kind of hopeful and exciting about this is that we're not the only ones that are spreading the message. So soil health is really coming at producers from many different sources. There's definitely industry interest in that. There's definitely a lot of government interest in that. So, you know, for us, I think partnering with other organizations and sort of levering our approaches, I think is one way to improve adoption of cover crops and other soil health practices. What I would say, you know, is that all of this takes time. If we're just looking at the example of no-till, over 50% of Nebraska farmers are now no-till, but it took probably a good generation or so to get there, you know. As far as cover crops, it is a lot, the adoption of cover crops is a lot less than the adoption of no-till, but, you know, due to some government cost share programs and other programs, industry programs for farmers now can get some money to offset some of the costs of introducing cover crops. I think that's really helpful as well.
Yeah, I like that you talk about such like a wider, trying to think of the best word for it, but like kind of like a wider spread approach of like working at all of these levels. It's not just I feel like it's not just the farmer's responsibility, but it's also as a part of being an extension of like, how can we get the best resources to them? And I love that you bring up leveraging how to work with the government agencies and the different industries who are also trying to increase in this space. I think that's so important. So our next question is going to talk about kind of alternative crop management strategies that could be considered, if you'd like, and if you can speak of it, if you could talk to us maybe a little bit about how any partnerships that you're currently working on and kind of how they play a role in that. That would be awesome.
Sure. So soil health practices are cover crops is a big one. No-till is a big one. But then there's a lot of others that unfortunately we don't think about so often, even though they could be very beneficial. You know, things like extending your crop rotation, having more diverse crops, that would include planting something like winter wheat. You know, if we brought back winter wheat, I believe it would give us a lot of the same benefits that a winter annual cover crop would do. You know, it covers the ground, it has those nice fibrous grass roots, it would be a good host for a lot of mycorrhizal fungi populations. So that would help. In general, bringing in more diversity and also, you know, possibly bringing in perennials. Again, thinking about stuff like alfalfa or even a clover that could be in the ground for 1 or 2 years at a time would improve soil health. Potentially, you could use it as a source of nitrogen. You know, the thing is, over time, we're really talking about a change in the system and, you know, sort of in how we farm. And again, that's not going to happen within just a couple of years, you know, but just starting that process and making, you know, making progress one by one, you know, baby steps. That's kind of what I think, how I think about it. Other than just a crops perspective, it would also be really helpful to have more animals integrated in our farming system. So grazing, you know, grazing animals, cover crops are great for that. So because we can graze them, that's kind of the kind of how a lot of farmers in Nebraska especially start out with cover crops. They graze them, you know. Yeah, so bringing in animals, also, you know, applying manure occasionally, that can have really, really big soil health benefits. Of course, it has to be managed, right? But, you know, every few years, a manure application that would be overall very helpful for a lot of things.
Are there any technologies available currently to assist the farmers to implement methods to enhance the soil health? There is any new products or technology that they can use in the field for getting more results or know how is the soil health is going in their field?
Sure. So as far as equipment, there are some new machines or sometimes just modified machines. So for you know, our issue when we're looking at a corn soybean system and we want to plant a cover crop is we often can't get in the field soon enough because corn and soybean, you know, cover pretty much the whole growing season. So high boy in our seeding, modified high boys that have attachments for cover crop broadcasting. That's a technology that's been useful. Some other technologies that I want to mention here, they don't necessarily just relate to cover crops, but for farmers that are wanting to reduce their herbicide applications or for organic farmers that want to reduce tillage, there's new equipment. Well, it's not that new, but there's equipment such as roller crimpers, which can be used for terminating cover crops, which, you know, is really interesting for organic farmers that don't or that want to reduce tillage. Can be used by conventional farmers too, of course. Other equipment that again for organic farmers would be things like flame weeding or zapping weeds with electricity. So those are some things that have been around for a while, but you know, they could really fit into this in this area. You know, precision ag, of course, is very big and helpful. When we're thinking about cover crops, a lot of our extension educators actually recommend just doing, not doing a solid stand of cover crops, but doing precision. So you're avoiding where you're going to plant your corn rows the next year. So you don't, you just don't plant a cover crop there. Yeah. So these are probably some of the main ones that I would say as far as the soilhealth practices that we can utilize for that.
That's awesome. I love that you bring up the equipment perspective. I feel like I've been in the precision ag sector for about 5 to 6 years through industry, through university research, through different coursework. And I feel like that is such a topic of conversation, especially when we discuss cover crops and how to diversify farming systems in Nebraska and across the Midwest. Is like, a lot of farmers are like, okay, but I don't have the technology for this. I don't know how we meet these demands if I don't have this. And so I really like that you're bringing up, and even though that the technology has been there and that the equipment is maybe not as new, but bringing it kind of into the light, especially in a conversation like this, I think is really beneficial for our users. So thank you for that perspective. We enjoy that. Especially because we're a digital ag podcast. And
exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So we do like talk about equipment. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but we have another question kind of talking about another resource for farmers. And so my next question for you is, can you also explain to us about the Crop Watch page and how we can utilize that for farmers?
Yeah. Crop Watch is it's sort of our archive, and that's also where we publish a weekly, well, during the growing season, it's a weekly, otherwise I think a bi-weekly newsletter. So you can sign up for the newsletter on the cropwatch.unl website. While you're there, I would highly encourage you to check out all the different tabs that are there. So a lot of the programs, we have headings or sites for all the major crops in Nebraska. That includes things like, well, of course, corn, soybeans, but also dry beans. We have a site for organic farmers. We have a site for our soil health program. I think Precision Ag is on there. I'd have to look, but it's extensive. Wheat is on there. So there is, on each one of the sites, you can find resources on agronomic management, on marketing, also what events are going on in that particular area. So it's a great site for sort of like a hub for information. And the newsletter is very broad. So it includes all kinds of crops, and basically also includes things like weather or some market information is in there. And it comes out every Friday afternoon. It's written by extension educators or specialists, extension specialists. Occasionally graduate students or researchers will post some of their newest research findings in there. It goes through a review process. So it's all vetted, mm-hmm. To make sure that the information is correct and unbiased as far as we can tell. And then it's published. So the articles tend to be short. A lot of them are research updates, but the nice thing is they tend to be a lot more digestible, I'm going to say, than like a full size research paper. So, so check it out. It's a great source for all the newest updates from UNL crops.
Nice. That is interesting. A channel that you can go and search in that part. It's really necessary. Mm-hmm. And think about research. And our next question will be like, could you provide an overview of some of your most recent research in those topics of soil health?
Sure. So I don't do as much research anymore as I used to because I'm an extension educator and I'm still involved in a few research projects. And probably the largest one is probably a cover crop variety trial project that's led by Dr. Andrea Beige in the agronomy department. So this project this is now the third year, I believe, of it. So it's a large project with lots and lots of different cover crop variety trial. We have a total of 70 variety or 70 treatments. So some of them are species. We're comparing a lot of different species. We also have varieties within species, and we're also comparing cover crop mixes. We're looking at we have those trials at 7 sites across the state, I believe, and 4 different planting times. So we're covering a huge window of opportunity for cover crops. And some of the most interesting findings from those are the ones about summer annual cover crops. That's usually when we're talking about cover crops in Nebraska, it is usually cereal rye, which is planted in corn or soybean systems over the winter. And that's great. I feel the summer annuals still have so much potential for biomass production, for soil health benefits, and for lots of other benefits, really. And they're also great for grazing. So it's just a really fun trial where we can see a lot of that potential. The other thing that's interesting about that, we're looking at some species where there's really not a lot of research going on in Nebraska. So some of the, we have a bunch of broadleaf cover crops that we're testing: buckwheat, cowpeas, sunflowers, African cabbage. We are looking at a variety of summer annual or warm season grasses, the sorghum sudans, the millets. We're also looking at teff. That's been a really fun one. And then we're mixing them in several combinations. So that has been a cool project. So just looking at the summer annuals has been really fun and fascinating.
Awesome project. I'm not as familiar with cover crops, but that sounds so cool to have such a variety of species, as well as like looking at them in a Nebraskan ecosystem. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah,
exactly.
Also, yeah. I also think like having different spots like spread across Nebraska is also impacted the difference of you having the soil, mm-hmm. because many times we in the same field you have sand soil and clay soil, mm-hmm. and it's like looking for that, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the vast diversity aspect to it. I think that's really awesome.
Like 70.
It is. And we do have field days coming up during the summer for these cover crops. So be sure you're staying up to date on your crop watches, because that's where we usually announce them. So
awesome. Sure. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yes. So hold on, I'm trying to find where we're at. Okay. So since we've talked a little bit about some of the most recent research that you had been involved in, and kind of your background in soil health and what that looks like and kind of how you work with producers, can you talk to us about what would be the next steps for utilizing cover crops to promote soil health? Like, where do you see us going in the next 2 to 5, 10 years from now?
Mm. That's an interesting thing to think about. And again, you know, something we spend a lot of time trying to figure out where we're going to best, concentrate our efforts. But I think, as far as cover crops, I think it's going to be helpful, again, to have more of these government programs that are coming. And I think there's going to be more of them. Then there's the whole carbon credit market, of course. So that's also going to be, you know, for certain producers, that's going to be a way they want to go. For us here in extension and research, I think, you know, obviously our job is to educate and to, you know, have science-based information for our farmers. So, you know, more research is good. More education. We're already doing a lot of conferences. We're doing trainings. Sometimes it's difficult to get, you know, producers to attend. But another thing that we have found really helpful is to, you know, instead of having like an expert standing there kind of lecturing people, you know, it's really helpful to for producers, especially to see other producers who have gone the same way. So having more like peer learning groups or farmer-to-farmer learning and mentoring, I think those things are going to be helpful. And if we in Extension can do things to facilitate that, I think that's kind of where a lot of our future efforts are probably going to go.
I love that. One second, sorry. I love that you talk about like kind of changing how we approach implementing this and how Extension aids in that. And really, I love the idea of like the farmer to farmer peer mentoring. Like, I think that's such a great idea. And such like a nice way to see somebody who started it, who's getting it to work and learning from their experiences. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about our on-farm research network. It's that's really an outlet for a lot of those things. You know, our farmers can get together and they can try things out and then they share with other farmers. So yeah, again, you know, we have a lot of these structures in place. So I think that's where, you know, I think that's our advantage, really, in moving this forward.
What advice would you offer to agriculture professionals currently engaging on interesting and integrate cover crops and soil improvements?
Yeah, so there is so much information available online, but, you know, I would really say talking with other farmers that have done this, reaching out to extension educators here in Nebraska. You know, it would, you know, there's a lot of local extension educators that are very actively doing on-farm research or extension events in soil health. Of course, they can reach out to us, to myself and Dr. Carol Cordova. We're the soil health program. But then, you know, basically, I would always recommend starting small, probably maybe doing a trial on some of your land. You know, again, that could be like an on-farm trial or you're just trying it out, you know. But yeah, starting small, if it's a cover crop, really try to manage the cover crop like it's an actual crop. So meaning, you know, you're using best management practices, you're selecting a good variety. Things like that will give you the best results. Yeah, and then don't give up and try out different things. There's always some that are going to fail and probably some that are going to work. So,
but I am also wondering, since based on where you are in your career, what has been like the most exciting thing that you've experienced or what you're most excited about at this point in your career?
You know, it's fun for us in the soil health sector that it is really kind of taking off, you know, that so that's cool. It's like a movement and it's inspiring in a way, you know, lots of people, you know, not just producers, but also people from the industry and government organization, you know, they have all kind of picked up on that. And so that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think that's probably one of the things I'm most interested about, you know, that's been the most fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. I would have to agree, is I have a lot more conversations about soil health than I did when I started in agriculture. Uh-huh. So that also makes me excited too.
Mm-hmm.
What guidance would you provide to students aspiring to pursue the career on soil health?
So some advice, again, you know, it's kind of similar probably to producers, but I would say for students, you guys have a little bit more flexibility a lot of times. You know, you can get into some topics that, you know, I mean, I think right now is a good time to get into some areas that haven't received a lot of attention, you know. So I think that's fun. And also, again, you know, try out a lot of different things, educate yourself. I mean, you are already doing that. Get involved. Again, you're doing that, you know, you're doing the Farm Bits podcast. So good stuff, right? You're already doing extension work and efforts, outreach efforts. So, but I think that's probably my advice, having fun, you know, trying out things. The one thing that I would mention is that soil health really is not just limited to farmers or larger scale, you know, farmers. A lot of gardeners, a lot of smaller organizations, community or gardening organizations are picking up on that and are probably using some of these practices in a lot more depth than we can do that on a larger scale. So, you know, it could also be it could be a cool opportunity to get involved with some of these organizations.
Yes. Yeah. That's nice. It's not to like thinking farmers are big farmers. We can do in our home, the garden.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's for everyone, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's soil, it's everyone. We step on soil every day.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that perspective. I love that you share it with such like a broader audience. And I love that you really talk about how much you seem to care about your experiences and how you want to make this applicable for our farmers in Nebraska and then beyond. So I really like that. Thank you for sharing all of that with us.
You're welcome. Yeah.
kind of our last question for you today. Is there any additional topics that you would like to discuss that we haven't addressed yet?
I don't think so. You know, I think, again, it is a very broad topic. And so just picking something and trying out a few things, you know, growing something in your own yard, if you want to, you know, that'd be a fantastic thing. So, yeah, no, I don't really have anything to add. Thank you for the questions. They actually really made me think they were not easy. You guys are challenging. That's good.
Yeah. We love it. We love having, especially like we like UNL, we like to have kind of demonstrate what Nebraska is doing, as well as somebody who is so connected in the on-farm research, the extension side. And I think that really has a lot of value to our listeners.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your time with us today as well.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Ketcha Collar Cole, for taking the time to join this episode of the FarmerBeat podcast. It is really interesting to see how the wide variety of soil health practice affect not only farmers, but everyone. One of my favorite parts of this episode is the introduction of the crop system watch for weekly crop news at Nebraska's.
I would have to agree. I really enjoyed her insights to all things soil health, especially cover crops. She brought on a lot of great information, practices, and events to help growers become more involved in soil health. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to sharing another Digital Ag story with you next week on Farm Bits. Thank you for taking the time to join us today on the Farm Bits podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts to be informed about the latest content each week.
We welcome your feedback, so if you have comments or questions for us, please reach out to us over email or Twitter or the review sections of favorite podcast platform. Our contact information can be found in the show notes.
We would like to thank Nebraska Extension for their support of this podcast and their commitment to providing high-quality informational material to members of the agricultural community in Nebraska and beyond.
The options expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the views of Nebraska Extension or the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
We look forward to you joining us next week for another episode of Farm Bits.